I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Let's get back to our look at what life's like for women in prison around the globe. We've been taking a long look at this here on the show. Our Across Women's Lives project has brought us stories exploring why the number of women behind bars is growing, both here and in other countries. A lot of it has to do with harsh sentences for drug-related offenses. Today, what it takes to help women stay out of prison. In Canada, it's Indigenous women who are far more likely to end up incarcerated. And to deal with that, Canada's justice system has expanded to include what's known as restorative justice. In this case, that means making Indigenous culture part of rehabilitation and reform. Here's The World's Andrea Crossan, and let me just say that you may find parts of the story disturbing.
Doris Paul is not a hugger. She's one of the warmest people you could meet. But Doris doesn't like to show emotion. She says she almost never cries. Because when Doris was a child, not crying was the only thing she could do to fight back.
I learned not to give them the satisfaction of crying at a young age. I wouldn't let them see me cry. I would just feel the pain and roll up in a ball.
Doris is Indigenous. She's a member of the Squamish Nation. When she was a child, she was taken to a residential school where she was educated by Catholic nuns and priests.
I knew right away when I got there at the age of six that it was evil.
The Canadian government forced Indigenous families to surrender their children to these schools. Kids were punished for speaking their language and practicing their beliefs. The system broke families and broke communities. It nearly broke Doris.
And I'm going to be very direct, very honest in this. I was beaten so bad at the age of six where I would crumple on the floor and just stay there until the pain stopped. And at the age of nine, I was raped by the priest. And I remember at the young age of nine trying to commit suicide because of what happened to me.
It's no wonder Doris started drinking when she was a teenager. She used alcohol to numb her pain. And she's not the only one who was dealing with this kind of trauma. Over 150,000 Indigenous children were forced into residential schools. Many suffered emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. The last school closed in the 1990s. But the legacy of that system, it lives on throughout Canada. Arguably no place more clearly than the criminal justice system. Doris Paul eventually got her life together. She stopped drinking, earned a degree in social work, and now she works for the local police department. And at 61, she's an elder in her community. Doris is small, but she strides up the steps here at the North Vancouver Provincial Courthouse. She's been coming here for years.
I used to sit in the gallery.
Doris would watch the court proceedings.
And I remember interrupting.
Because she could see the disconnect between the justice system and many of the defendants.
Some of our nation members were doing really good. Like, they did finally find healing. They found treatment or found their place, you know, back into the culture. But the judge didn't know it.
She would ask to address the judge.
I put my hand up and I said, you know, I really want to speak on behalf of the cultural part of the First Nations people. So I spoke on behalf of that person, and then it became a real keen interest, you know.
And Doris, with the help of that judge and community leaders, created this.
Do you have any cream here?
A First Nations court that convenes once a month, where five elders work with a judge to really understand what led to each person being sentenced to commit the crime.
Tichisliam, Heavenly Father, the Queen Matau. Pity us.
Eugene Henry is Doris's brother-in-law, and he's one of the elders. He offers a prayer before court convenes.
Opening prayers, asking the Creator to come down upon us to ease our minds, to calm our anger, and listen to the words that are set on the table.
Okay, good. He's doing well. Okay, I'll appear for him.
First Nations Court works within the existing justice system, with offenders who have already admitted their guilt and self-identify as Indigenous. In the courtroom, the judge sits at a table with the lawyers and the offender. The elders sit in a semicircle near the judge. Throughout the sentencing hearings, there are moments of tears and moments of laughter. One woman sits in front of the judge and the elders waiting to be sentenced for theft. The woman says she was stealing and selling baby formula to support her cocaine addiction. She tells the court that she's clean now and she's working as a full-time babysitter for her daughter. At this point, one of the elders tells her that she knows her, that they knew each other when they were kids. The two women laugh together and share stories. Then the woman is sentenced. She receives 12 months probation, and she's banned from going into the store she stole from. Outside of court, she's visibly relieved.
It was wonderful. It was really heartfelt. Like, people had compassion. It was like one big family sitting there talking. Even the judge, like, just jumped right in there, you know, and he was family too, kind of thing, right, which was wonderful.
The woman, who asked not to be named, says that substance abuse had consumed her life for decades.
By the time I was 15, I was an alcoholic. And no one told me that the substance abuse would carry me to a place that would be very dark and lonely. You're sitting under a dark cloud and you can't seem to escape it.
But like Doris Paul, she says her troubles stem back to when she was a child.
I was in residential school and it was a horrible, horrible experience. And the government was closing his eyes, ignoring the fact that children were being abused. I was abused for the whole time I was there, beaten and everything.
For so many Indigenous women, the trauma is just so deep. Even the prosecution recognizes it. Arlene Loist is the Crown Counsel, the prosecutor assigned to First Nations Court.
The incarceration rate for Aboriginal women is completely out of whack. And if you look at a lot of their crimes, it's as a result of poverty and neglect and abuse. And so if you do look at it holistically, it's more likely we can get help. And it's to get them out of that cycle.
There hasn't been research done yet on whether courts like this can stop that revolving door of reoffending. And this court is fairly new. It was only created 5 years ago. But for Doris Paul, the elder who helped create this court, it's just part of the solution. She says that to really succeed, offenders need to reconnect with their Indigenous culture, a culture that Doris wants me to witness for myself. She invites me to come as her guest to a traditional ceremony at the Longhouse. In the back of her van, she shows me a black robe covered with small carved cedar canoe paddles.
And here is a paddle jacket. We wear this as part of the regalia. Our ancestors used otter, but we replaced it with velvet.
She applies a black paint onto her face. It's made of the root of the Devil's Club plant.
That's our protection. In the Sion world, it protects us from what we believe is like a bad spirit. Then we're covered with the good spirit.
Doris says the culture is the medicine.
I can sit in this ceremony today and I can see how many people I've helped through the culture. And they've put down the bottle, they put down the drug, the needle, and they picked up a drum and a drumstick, and they're drumming and participating in our ceremonies. So it's really important to remind First Nations people that they come from somewhere, they belong somewhere.
As we approach the Longhouse, Doris's nephew Aaron greets us.
Hi, Auntie, how are you?
I'm good.
I love you.
I love you too.
Hi.
Hi, Andrea. So nice to meet you.
Andrea, my name is Aaron.
Nice to meet you.
Aaron. Nice to meet you too. Yeah.
There's a nail on the doorframe.
We touch the nail because when we walk in the door, this is where you leave your outside thinking. So you keep your mind focused on what's happening here.
Yeah.
We touch the nail. And Doris leads me in to witness the healing. For The World, I'm Andrea Crossan, North Vancouver.
Tomorrow, Andrea spends the day with another remarkable woman working to help break the cycle of incarceration. Mo Korchinski knows what it takes to help women stay out of prison because she's been there herself.
How many times were you incarcerated?
I was in I did four fairly long sentences. I did a year, 11 months, 15 months, and then 18 months sentence. So I did a fairly long bit.
She used to sell cocaine to support her own addiction. Now she runs a program to help women when they need it the most, those first few days on the outside.
What our program can offer women coming out of prison is hope. that somebody like me who used to be a permanent fixture at the prison, I have my children in my life, I have my grandchildren in my life, you know, I got my bachelor's, I went back and got educated. They too can do that.
Getting out and staying out. That's tomorrow here on The World.